Today is a national day of mourning for President George H.W. Bush as he is remembered at the Washington National Cathedral. We want to take a few moments now to listen to him in his own words, some extended clips, starting with his speech at the Republican National Convention in August of 1988 when he received his party's nomination for president. He praised Americans who help one another.
Some would say it's soft and insufficiently tough to care about these things. But where is it written that we must act if we do not care, as if we're not moved? Well, I am moved. I want a kinder and gentler nation.
That hopeful tone and his belief in the goodness of America continued through his presidency and the way he guided the country and the world through some challenging times, like the Chinese crackdown on pro-democracy protesters in Tiananmen Square in June 1989.
The demonstrators in Tiananmen Square were advocating basic human rights, including the freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom of association. These are goals we support around the world. These are freedoms that are enshrined in both the U.S. Constitution and the Chinese Constitution. Throughout the world, we stand with those who seek greater freedom and democracy. This is the strongly felt view of my administration, of our Congress, and most important, of the American people.
It was Ronald Reagan who famously told Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the Berlin Wall. But it was during Bush's presidency that the wall actually did come down. Here's Bush talking with reporters about that in the Oval Office in November 1989.
We've imagined it, but I can't say that I foresaw this development at this state. No, I didn't foresee it, but imagining it, yes. When I talked about a Europe whole and free, we're talking about this kind of freedom to come and go, staying with and living by the Helsinki Final Act, which gives the people the rights to come and go.
In what you just said, this is a sort of great victory for our side in the big East-West battle, but you don't seem elated, and I'm wondering if you're thinking...
I'm elated. I'm just not an emotional kind of guy.
Well,
I'm very pleased.
During his presidency, Bush was heavily focused on foreign affairs. In December 1989, after Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega's military forces attacked U.S. servicemen in Panama, killing one, Bush decided to take military action in the country.
General Noriega's reckless threats and attacks upon Americans in Panama created an imminent danger to the 35,000 American citizens in Panama. As president, I have no higher obligation than to safeguard the lives of American citizens. And that is why I directed our armed forces to protect the lives of American citizens in Panama and to bring General Noriega to justice in the United States.
Bush also took military action against Saddam Hussein in Iraq after Hussein invaded Kuwait. Here he is addressing the nation in January 1991 after military strikes had begun.
Prior to ordering our forces into battle, I instructed our military commanders to take every necessary step to prevail as quickly as possible and with the greatest degree of protection possible for American and allied servicemen and women. I've told the American people before that this will not be another Vietnam. And I repeat this here tonight. Our troops will have the best possible support in the entire world, and they will not be asked to fight with one hand tied behind their back. I'm hopeful that this fighting will not go on for long, and that casualties will be held to an absolute minimum. This is an historic moment. We have, in this past year, made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
On the domestic front, one of the most significant and lasting pieces of legislation he signed was the Americans with Disabilities Act. Here he is speaking on the White House lawn when he signed it into law in July of 1990.
And today, America welcomes into the mainstream of life all of our fellow citizens with disabilities. We embrace you for your abilities and for your disabilities, for our similarities, and indeed for our differences, for your past courage and your future dreams. And last year, we celebrated the victory of international freedom. Even the strongest person couldn't scale the Berlin Wall to gain the elusive promise of independence that lay just beyond. And so together we rejoiced when that barrier fell. And now I sign legislation which takes a sledgehammer to another wall, one which has for too many generations separated Americans with disabilities from the freedom they could glimpse but not grasp. And once again we rejoice as this barrier falls, proclaiming together we will not accept, we will not excuse, we will not tolerate discrimination in America.
His administration also revised the Clean Air Act to address acid rain, urban air pollution, toxic emissions, and ozone depletion. He had overwhelming bipartisan support for his environmental legislation. Here's Bush at the signing ceremony in November 1990.
America's heritage is precious. We will not turn our backs or look the other way. And that means polluters must pay. And so there is a new breeze blowing, a new current of concern for the environment. And today marks a great victory for the environment, the day when we have strengthened our clean air statutes, already the world's toughest. This legislation is not only in America's interest. Like so many of the environmental issues that we are working on, this bill is in the interest of people all over the world. And the new environmental ethos is growing. We see it in community efforts and in school involvement across America, and we're seeing it in the innovative response of private industry, in alternative fuel service stations, electric vehicles. These companies understand we must pioneer new technology, find new solution, envision new horizons if we're to build a bright future and a better America for our children. There's an old saying, we don't inherit the earth from our parents. We borrow it from our children. We have succeeded today because of a sense, a common sense of global stewardship, a sense that it is the earth that endures and that all of us are simply holding a sacred trust left for future generations.
Despite George H.W. Bush's successes and a historically high approval rating in March 1991, 89%, his popularity waned as the economy dipped, and he lost his bid for re-election in 1992 to Democrat Bill Clinton. Bush is remembered for his optimism, which is on full display in his State of the Union address in January 1991.
If anyone tells you that America's best days are behind her, they're looking the wrong way. Tonight, I come before this House and the American people with an appeal for renewal. This is not merely a call for new government initiatives. It is a call for new initiative in government, in our communities, and from every American to prepare for the next American century. America has always led by example. So who among us will set the example? Which of our citizens will lead us in this next American century? Everyone who steps forward today to get one addict off drugs, to convince one troubled teenager not to give up on life, to comfort one AIDS patient, to help one hungry child. We have within our reach the promise of a renewed America. We can find meaning and reward by serving some higher purpose than ourselves. A shining purpose, the illumination of 1,000 points of light. And it is expressed by all who know the irresistible force of a child's hand, of a friend who stands by you and stays there, a volunteer's generous gesture, an idea that is simply right. The problems before us may be different, but the key to solving them remains the same. It is the individual who steps forward, and the state of our union is the union of each of us, one to the other, the sum of our friendships, marriages, families, and communities.
Some of the words of President George H.W. Bush as the nation mourns.